జననీం శారదాం దేవీం రామకృష్ణం జగద్గురు. పాదపద్మే త్రయో శ్రిత్వా ప్రణమామి ముహుర్ముహు. నమశ్రీ యతిరాజాయ వివేకానంద సూరయే సచ్చిత్ సుఖస్వరూపాయ స్వామినే తాపహారిణి. అనేక జన్మ సంప్రాప్త కర్మబంధ విదాయిని ఆత్మజ్ఞాన ప్రదానేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. ఐ బో డౌన్ టు ద డివైన్ గురు హూ ఇంపార్ట్స్ టు ద డిసైపుల్ ద ఫైర్ ఆఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్ అండ్ బర్న్స్ అవే హిస్ బాండ్స్ ఆఫ్ కర్మ అక్యుములేటెడ్ త్రూ మెనీ బర్త్స్. మై హంబల్ ప్రణామ్స్ టు రివియర్డ్ గీత ప్రాణమాతాజీ, అదర్ మాతాజీస్ అండ్ డివోటీస్. టుడే ఇస్ ద హోలీ డే ఆఫ్ ఆషాఢ పూర్ణిమ, ఆల్సో కాల్డ్ యాజ్ వ్యాస పూర్ణిమ ఆర్ గురు పూర్ణిమ. హోల్ ఆఫ్ ఇండియా హోల్డ్స్ దిస్ యాజ్ అ వెరీ సీక్రెట్ డే బికాస్ ఇన్ ఇండియా అవర్ లైఫ్ ఇస్ స్పిరిచువలీ సెంటర్డ్ అండ్ అవర్ లైఫ్స్ గోల్ డైరెక్ట్లీ ఆర్ ఇండైరెక్ట్లీ would be God realization. Vyasa, Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa, is called Guru of all sages. Gurur Muninam, he is the person who systematized the whole Vedic knowledge. Vedas contain the spiritual experiences of our rishis, experience of God from time immemorial. These Vedas were made into four groups: Rig, Yajur, Sama, Atharva by Vyasa Rishi. Who is this Guru? Once a devotee asked Sri Ramakrishna, what does a Guru do? So for that, Sri Ramakrishna replied, Guru is just like a matchmaker. He connects the disciple and Ishta through a mantra, that is Mantra Diksha. And this is very important in spiritual life, to have a definite established relationship with God. During Mantra Diksha, not only mantra is given to the disciple, but it is actual transmission of the spiritual power. Diyate Jnana, Muhyate Pashuvasana. Guru gives knowledge, and knowledge destroys animal instincts, worldly desires, and worldly propensities. Vyasa is called Vyasam Narayanam Hari. Vyasa is Narayana himself. God himself came in the form of Vyasa. God is the Adi Guru and Anadi Guru also. There is no Guru behind him. He is the Guru of all Gurus. He appears in the form of Creator Brahma. Brahma Devanam Pratamastambha Bhuva Vishvasya Karta Bhuvanasya Gopta. The Creator of the universe, Sustainer of the universe, Brahma, he appeared from God himself. He taught the knowledge about Ishvara, Jiva, about the creation, how the Jivas are bound and how they can be liberated. All this knowledge was taught by Brahma to his disciple and son Atharva, then Atharva to Angir, then Angir to Satyavaha and Satyavaha to Angira. This is the parampara, lineage of gurus that comes in the Upanishads. The continuous line of knowledge of God, knowledge of Brahman. This continuity of knowledge is called Brahma Vidya Parampara. Parasmat Parasmatyai Avaranena Prapta Vidya Parampara. Param is Guru, Aparam is Shishya. It is Guru to Shishya the knowledge comes. In Brahma Vidya Parampara, Guru himself teaches the disciple. This is the method for first four people in the parampara. After the fourth person, that is after Angira, there is a method to approach Guru. What is that method to approach a Guru? So as we see in Bhagavad Gita, Tadviddi Pranipatena Pariprashnena Sevaya Upadekshanti Te Jnanam Jnanina Tattvadarshinah. Gita says, if you want to know about spirituality, about Ishvara, Jiva, creation, how we are bound by our karma and how we want to be liberated, we have to definitely approach a spiritual guru. That is Pranipatena Tadviddhi. One should be humble and salute the guru with reverence and request the guru to teach him the way to realize God. Then Guru also would teach out of love and compassion without expecting anything in return. A spiritual guru does not want anything. He has no desire at all. It is really very difficult to make a spiritual guru accept any gifts. Once, Sri Ramakrishna was offered a huge amount by Mathura Babu. Then Sri Ramakrishna, he fell unconscious, and later he told, "You are coming to give me money and take me away from my mother." So that was Sri Ramakrishna. If we want to hold on to God, we should keep ourselves away from money. Sri Ramakrishna did not accept any money, nor his disciples did, nor their disciples. Because these worldly affluences have nothing to do with spirituality. They are hindrance to it. Then, how do we get the Guru and how do we get the grace of the Guru without offering anything? Definitely not by giving any money or presents or by praising him. He is not bothered about gifts, praises, blames or even criticism. Only way is to go to him in a humble spirit, saying that we are in difficulty in this world. We do not know how to live in this world. Neither do we know how to cross this world. And there's a shloka in Bhagavata. The gist of it is like this. When people in the world say, "I am happy," that means they are all deluded. They are only thinking that they are happy. And there's a small story about this delusion. There were hundreds of frogs. They were all being worried by scorching sun. Then somehow they searched a lot and they found a big shelter. And they all went under the shelter and they started looking above. It was a big snake with its hood open. They were all thinking that finally they have got a shelter and they are all safe. But these fellows are actually sitting under a snake and thinking that they have found a shelter. Have they really? No, not. So this is how worldly people say, we are in great peace, we do not want God, we do not want any religion. So this is there under the shade of Sarpa and thinking that they are safe. Then in this world of sorrow, how can you overcome sorrow? This is possible only by going to a guru, by approaching him with humility, serving him and asking him in a very polite way, pariprashnena, and by providing whatever service is possible for us, that is sevaya. Swami Yatishwaranandaji says about guru cult in a very inspiring way. Man has always found solace in believing and worshipping forces higher than his senses reveal to him. All of us are not satisfied with the knowledge we have. We know something about ourselves, we know something about our neighbors, then we know something about our family members, a little bit about history also. But are we satisfied with that knowledge? We are not satisfied. Man is always seeking higher force, higher belief, higher knowledge. And this belief in higher force that is guiding destiny of not one individual, but of the entire creation. This whole creation is full of rhythm. Seasons come and go, suns, moons, stars, galaxies, they are all moving in a rhythm. They have a discipline. Who controls all this rhythm? There can be no rhythm, no discipline without a person to discipline it. For example, if children are left alone at home in the absence of parents for a couple of hours, so how would they behave? They can create a mess and they would be out of control and there will be no discipline. But in this creation, there is a rhythm, discipline and order. There is a force controlling all this. A man believes in that force and believes that he has relationship with that force. This is called as religious belief. This is very natural to man. Every religion believes that man is not just the body. We don't live in the body, we continue to live even after the body is gone. Body is the chariot and Atman is the charioteer. When you park the car and go home, does the car come with you to home? No, it will not. So there, you and car are different entities. Dehi no asmin, that is, Dehi means Dehavan. We have a body, we are not the body. We are trapped into this body. Atman has the body, it is not the body. When we realize we are trapped, we try to find out a way. So that is the spiritual quest. Man's state is a fallen state. Why is it a fallen state? If it had been a perfect state, then there should be no suffering for us. We all should have been happy, but that is not the case. So this is a fallen state where we are in sorrow and difficulty. So a man has to go to higher state. How is that possible? By leading a moral and spiritual life. All religions believe that man should grow morally, and through morality comes spirituality. That means he must know that he is a spiritual being, divine being. Child of God. These are the ideas that inspire man to take up spiritual life. Those who realize these truths, the truth of God, truth of creation, the truth of different souls that are there under the influence of their karma and suffering, how they are in bondage, how they can be released from their bondage. These people who know these truths are called gurus, teachers of spirituality. They have realized this truth, seen this truth. Buddha said, I have seen my previous 500 births. In every birth, I have become perfect. Now in this life, I have become Buddha. Sri Ramakrishna said, he that was Rama, Krishna, Gauranga, Jesus Christ, Buddha, is now Sri Ramakrishna. They know the truth of God, truth about different incarnations of the soul. Those great souls who have realized these truths and are ready to teach are the real gurus. Many people may know, but they may not like to teach. Like, there are so many great scientists. They are definitely great scientists, but they are not willing to become professors, go and teach in college for other people. So they cannot be called as gurus. People who have realized the truth and who are also ready to teach are called gurus. Why do we need a guru? Nowadays, we all think we can read some books, attend some online classes, watch some videos, and we can lead a spiritual life. But that is not sufficient. It is not possible that way. The parampara, lineage of the guru, is there in Indian tradition from thousands of years. There are so many gurus, and they have all taught different teachings at different places. Though all the gurus and their teachings lead to the same truth, they may not be beneficial to a single person in a particular context. In present context, we are here. We may not be able to understand and reach the highest goal by following the teachings of the gurus who were there in Satyuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, or now itself in the Kali Yuga, 1,000 years before. We want a person who knows our circumstances, who is near to us, who himself has undergone the struggles to realize the spiritual truth and is ready to teach us so that he can teach us in a language which we can understand. When we read Sri Ramakrishna's gospel, we find that all the explanations and all the examples that he provides are very familiar to us, and that will make us spirituality easy for us. So a guru is required to guide us to a particular path in a specific direction. It could be practicing any of the four yogas, Bhakti Yoga, Karma Yoga, Raja Yoga, or Jnana Yoga, or combination of all these four yogas. But who will guide us and tell us which one is suitable for us? These great gurus will be able to do that. For instance, when we have selected a job of our choice, following our heart, we don't have to actually work. We ourselves will be giving the best without any efforts. So this is how, when we find a right guru, he will guide us on the right path. We may not know that we are progressing in spiritual path, but we will be definitely progressing. But we are not aware of that progress. That progress will be happening through guru's grace. Sri Ramakrishna realized God without any formal guru. We all know his life. We have seen his life story. He went as a pujari to the Dakshineshwar Kali temple. He started weeping for mother, saying, Mother, what is this? Are you only a stone image or living being? If you are living, why don't you reveal yourself to me? Why don't you speak to me? Why don't you offer the food that I Why don't you eat the food that I have offered to you? So this is how he started. He realized mother revealed herself to Sri Ramakrishna not only in mother's form but also in her infinite forms. Then he realized God in many aspects also, all that we see in his life. He did not have a guru, but in the end he also accepted four gurus: Bhairavi Brahmani, Totapuri, Govinda Rai, Ramai Sadhu. Why did he accept gurus? There was no need for him to do so, but he did it. Why? To show us all, if he had not accepted gurus in his life, we also would have definitely thought we don't need a guru, no religion, nothing is required. So, to make us realize that there is a requirement of physical guru for us, he also accepted gurus. To show us that our path is through a physical guru and that we approach and take guidance from the guru. He also took guides in his life. Another great necessity of guru is a guru will be able to teach essentials of the spiritual life. When we read teachings of Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother Sri Sharada Devi and Swami Vivekananda, we find that they directly go to the point that is required. Suppose when someone asks Sri Ramakrishna that this world is full of misery, he directly comes to the point. What does he say? He says, suffering is because of expectations from the world. If we do not expect anything from the world, we have no misery at all. So reduce the desires and wants and be satisfied. Sri Ramakrishna comes directly to the essentials of spiritual life. So this is the great necessity of a guru. We may read Gita, Upanishads, attend classes, read different books, but unless the knowledge comes through a realized person, we wouldn't be able to grasp it in a proper sense. We need a guru for this. So now we got to know the requirement of a guru. Now how do we select a guru? If we are asking this question, how do we select a guru? The question itself is wrong. Disciple is ignorant person. How will he know the qualifications of the guru? Suppose we are studying in a school. Will we be able to select who is the best teacher for us for our subjects? That is not possible, because we ourselves do not have any understanding of the subject. Then how will we be able to judge the knowledge of another person in that particular subject? That is not possible. It is kind of foolishness. But in general, we can look at certain qualities of a guru. They are Shrotriyo, Avrajino, Apapahataha. A guru must lead a moral life. A person leading immoral life cannot be called as guru. One should not approach such a guru. He must be above temptations of wealth, name and fame. Common people, they have attractions for wealth, name and fame, but a guru is above that. He doesn't ask for money, name or fame. He is satisfied with himself because he has realized the highest truth. He has realized the spiritual joy. He does not require anything external. He does not require money, name and fame to be joyful. He is joyful all by himself, and looking at the misery of the humankind, he would be willing to teach us all. Sri Ramakrishna also would ask the disciples to test the guru well before accepting. He would say, you must have faith in your guru. That is true, but before putting faith in the guru, you have to test your guru. Along with these qualifications, Shankaracharya also adds to this. Ahetuka daya sindhu bandhu anamatam satam. Shankaracharya says, apart from being highly moral person, free from all the temptations of money, name and fame, he must have infinite compassion for the suffering humanity. It takes years of struggle for a guru to train a single student, but yet he does that. He will not give up even on a single student. Why should a guru take so much struggle for a single student? Only motivating force for a guru is Ahetuka Daya Sindhu. His heart overflows with pity, compassion for the suffering humanity. Bandhu Anamatam Satam. What does this mean? Whoever takes refuge under him, he teaches them about Atman knowledge. So he becomes friend to them. he comes down to their level and he will teach them, taking all the trouble. In secular education also, we can see how much of efforts a teacher takes to train a student. Then, in spiritual life, it is million times more. Love of a guru towards student is unexplainable. When we read life of Sri Ramakrishna and Swami Vivekananda, we can see what a great love Sri Ramakrishna had for Narendra. Sri Ramakrishna, Narendra tells, "See, this Narendra does not have a single paisa to help me in any way. He is now in a very poor condition. He is unable to make two ends meet in the family. They are going on fasting without any food to eat. This is the condition of Narendra. But I cannot live without Narendra. If I want to see him, I go to Calcutta in the dead of night, in the noon." So much attraction, so much of love Sri Ramakrishna had for Narendra. This is the spiritual attraction. This spiritual attraction is Bandhuhu Anamatam Satam. This great love for the disciple makes a guru great. So now, once we have selected a guru, once we have actually got a guru, then our spiritual path becomes very easy. Any guru, he could be extraordinary or ordinary guru, through that guru, power of God alone comes. It is not possible for all of us to have a guru like Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother Sri Sharada Devi or Swami Vivekananda. But other gurus who are also moral, who are above the temptations of money, name and fame, who are leading a good life and who have realized truth in their own way, are equally great gurus. Because that power that is coming through the guru is the same power that is Paramatma. Himself is manifesting through all the gurus. Once Swami Satprakashananda asks Swami Shivananda, "Maharaj, some people take initiation from Swami Brahmananda and some take initiation from Holy Mother. Is there any difference?" Swami Shivananda says, "No difference. Same Ganges water is coming through two different channels. Same Sri Ramakrishna Shakti is coming through them. There is no difference at all." Swami Bhuteshananda also makes a remark about the Guru. "If one thinks body of the Guru is the Guru, then the doctrine of the Guru ends with doctrine of the body. And if one considers Guru as the Ishta or the chosen deity, then even when the Guru dies, one will not miss the Guru. That Guru is the eternal Guru." Also, Swami Yatishwaranandaji says, "Whoever is our Guru, through him God himself is giving instructions. God's instructions, God's power of redeeming comes to us through our Guru. So, Guru is just not the physical person what we see, but the inner self of that physical person is eternally with us. God himself comes to us in the form of Guru and gives us instructions. That is why we say Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwaraha, Guru Sakshat Parabrahma, Tasme Shri Gurave Namaha. We call Guru as Vishnu, Brahma, Shiva. That is Paramatma himself. Paramatma is the spirit inside the Guru and not the physical form of the Guru. Which means Guru is always there with us. God himself has come in the form of Guru. This great faith should be there in us. How do we get our Guru? To get a Guru, we should be prepared for it. How do we get admission into a college? We will have to read the lower classes, get a certificate, pass the entrance exam, and then we get admission to the college. Similarly, if you want a Guru, we must prepare ourselves as a disciple. First thing for a disciple to do is to analyze. But do we really need this spiritual knowledge? In case if we are satisfied with money, salary, little things in the world, then we are not ready for spiritual knowledge. We will have to wait. A time will come where we are tired of these things and we want something higher. So when this earning for higher knowledge comes, earning for God comes, and we start feeling that there is nothing permanent to which we can hold on, then only we start searching for support in the divine. which we will not lose in this life or beyond this life. This deep desire for higher knowledge is required, and we should prepare ourselves for that. We should grow in our selflessness, renunciation, sacrifice for others. We should feel that it is not in having, but it is in giving that the joy is there. When these qualities come in us, then a spirit of renunciation comes. Then a deep desire for higher knowledge comes. And the most important thing in spiritual life is we must be receptive. If we are not receptive and we are simply commenting about the religion, we will never learn anything about the religion. There must be receptive, a strong urge and feeling to know what is spirituality and religion. This is the preparation of a student. More than anything in spiritual life, purity and truthfulness. Satya and Brahmacharya. Satyena Brahmacharyena Tapasa. It is mentioned in Upanishads repeatedly that these two great qualities are very essential in spiritual life. Purity must come into thoughts, words and deeds. Truthfulness must come, straightforwardness, plainness. When this comes, we are ready as a student, and once we are ready as a student, certainly we will be getting a guru. Thus the Supreme God grants spiritual enlightenment to all the spiritual aspirants through the guru. Time factor is also one of the important things. Just because we have gone to a guru and guru has given us instructions and we are doing some japa and meditation does not mean that on the very next day we'll attain the highest state of realization. We should practice with patience for that. We cannot go to a doctor and say, make me a doctor. Is that possible to become a doctor in one day? No. For this, we need 12 years of school study, then 5 years in the medical college, then we can become a doctor. 17 years we have to work hard to get ordinary MBBS degree. So by just going to a guru, it is not possible to get knowledge of Brahman. Sri Ramakrishna always used to say, patience and perseverance are very important. Go on working at it, go on practicing the path guru has given. Slowly we will be progressing, but we wouldn't be aware of the progress. Many times we try to evaluate ourselves. It is not possible to evaluate ourselves. The guru will be knowing about our progress. He has given us the path, he has given us instructions. Our duty is to only follow what guru has told. And the progress will be taken care by the guru. In Holy Mother's life, one of her disciples says, Mother, I am following whatever you have instructed and following them since many years, but I don't seem to progress at all. Immediately, Mother replies, How will you know whether you have progressed or not? I am your guru. I am taking care of it. I'll take care that you will progress at the right time and you will get the highest knowledge. You don't have to worry. It is more of our ego to say that I am not progressing. Who are we to judge about our own spiritual progress? Our duty is to only follow what Guru has told. It is Guru's responsibility to take care of our spiritual progress. So this is a great factor in our Indian spirituality. Indian spirituality gives the Guru the responsibility of progress. We don't have to worry about it at all. We have to put all our mind in the sadhana only. We go on doing what Guru has told us and progress will be taken care by itself. Also, we are not bothered about the obstacles. When obstacles come, we will have to approach the Guru and Guru will clear it for us. That is how spiritual life is easy in Indian context. Guru takes the responsibility of clearing the obstacles. In Upanishads, we find that the Devatas do not want human beings to become God-realized persons. Because Devatas get all the puja and yagna through ignorant people only. Suppose if someone becomes God-realized person, why would that person engage himself or herself in ritualistic worship, do puja and yagna? They will be living with God. Wherever they are, there will be no need for them to visit any temple or perform any sacrifices and austerities. If everybody realizes God, devatas will have no puja at all. So devatas do not like humans to be God-realized persons, and hence they obstacle the spiritual life of human beings. Human obstacles are only difficult for us to overcome. Then imagine devatas putting obstacles in our path. How will we be able to progress? We need to know that Guru is there and we should have faith in the Guru. Guru is Paramatma himself. He is the devata for all the devatas. Devatas can't do anything before him. We have to pray to the Guru and do the sadhana. He will take care of the obstacles also. Guru Parampara is preserved in this ancient land of our country in an unbroken way in the traditional mutts like Shankaras, Ramanujas, Madhvas, etc. And of course it is very bright and vibrant in Sri Ramakrishna's Guru Parampara. Romarola felt a sort of electric shock when he read the words of Swamiji. What does this mean? It is the living parampara. Swami Vivekananda was carrying Sri Ramakrishna's words in the burning spirit. So when Romarola read it after 30 years of Swami Vivekananda, he says, I receive an electric shock when I read Swamiji. We can see living examples of highest gurus in Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother Sri Sharada Devi and Swami Vivekananda in the direct disciples and their disciples also. Now, our life today is, that is the modern life, what we call, is bereft of one wonderful thing that we should have but we are not having. What is that? That is the goal for our life. We don't know the goal of life. Everyone is going on a sea in a boat, but they do not know in which direction they are traveling because they do not have a compass with them. Somebody is thinking they are going towards the north, but they are actually traveling towards south. And one is thinking they are traveling towards west, but they are going towards east. So, when the big wind comes, we don't have any other way but to drown. We must have a goal. Then only we can progress in one direction. There should be a goal for our life. What should be that goal? Sri Ramakrishna gave us the real goal. Goal of human life is God realization. Can all people in this world realize God? Can everyone attain to this goal? Sri Ramakrishna vehemently said yes. God is our own. He is our father, mother. He is our everything. So we have come from God to this world and we have to go back to Him. There is no other way. When children are sent to school, they'll be waiting to go back home. That is why they are very eager to get out of the school. Similarly, all of us know that we have to get out of this world, but we do not know where to go. That is our pitiable condition. A child is left from the school but does not know how to go home. He'll be crying on the street. Now that is our condition. And if we don't have a goal for life, it'll be even more pitiable. Sri Ramakrishna has said, God is the goal and God is our father, mother from whom we have come to this world. He has sent us for some marketing purpose. So these are the very words of Sri Ramakrishna. We have come here for some shopping in the market. If we are still standing in the market even after the shopping, we will be foolish. The method Sri Ramakrishna gives us to live in the world is by serving God in everyone, looking at everyone as the manifestation of the God. Whatever we do to them should do it as worship of God. We have to turn all our social activities into spiritual activities. Seeing God in everyone, we should serve everybody. By doing so, we become unattached. There will be no attachment to the world. If we serve people, seeing God in them, we will take care of them and He will take care of us. We don't have to expect anything from them. This unattached living in the world by taking the name of God, singing His glories, following the disciplines the Guru has told, will take us closer towards our goal. Prayer and meditation are also very important in spiritual life. They take us closer to our goal. When once we remember our goal, we will not go astray in this world. More and more detachment will come and we can live in this world also happily. Sri Ramakrishna's teachings, his name, his personality, his Sangha are very important for us. Sri Ramakrishna has created a Sangha of devotees and sadhus. This big Sangha is the lighthouse for all the ships of our lives. We are all on the sea. Where to go? We have to look at the lighthouse. That is the direction for us. So, that is the right direction in which we have to travel, and through that we can attain to lasting joy. We are having joys, but very temporary. But the lasting joy, lasting peace, lasting fulfillment can be got only through spiritual attainment. And spiritual attainment is possible through gurus alone. Let us start with whatever practice is possible. Hours of spiritual practice will come through minutes of spiritual practice daily. So as in the Bhagavad Gita, Yattadagre Vishamiva Pariname Amrutopavam Tatsukam Satvikam Proktam Atma Buddhi Prasadajam. The real joy, spiritual joy, is by realizing the Atman, Atma Buddhi Prasadajam. The peace that comes through knowing that we are Atman, that is the highest joy, and it is definitely difficult to start with. Yattadagre Vishamiva. It is like drinking a bitter medicine, but we drink it knowing that good health will come. When the good health comes, we will enjoy it certainly. To enjoy it, we should go through the bitterness. If we avoid the medicine because of bitterness, we will not get good health. Similarly, Bhagavad Gita says, Sattvika enjoyment of God's name, God and God's realization starts with hard practice of meditation, singing the name of God, thinking about God, contemplating on His glories, helping the people in need, thinking that God is there in everyone, and practicing a little of renunciation and service. All these are hard, not very attractive. But when we first practice for few years, then the venue of spiritual life opens and it will lead to lasting joy, lasting fulfillment and lasting peace. Once a devotee asked, Holy Mother, will merry repetition of mantra taught by an adept guru help the aspirant even if he or she does not possess intense devotion? Mother replied, whether you jump into the water or you are pushed into the water, your clothes are bound to become wet. Similarly, when we repeat the mantra and practice spiritual disciplines, results are bound to come. Because during mantra diksha, we will not only be receiving the mantra, it is actual transmission of the spiritual power, and that power will definitely work. Once Swami Nirbhayananda asked Swami Turiyananda, Maharaj, we have left our home, parents, family, everything, but we have not realized God yet. Swami Turiyananda replies, look, you have come under the wish-fulfilling tree. The fruits are hanging. If you stay under the tree, you will get the fruit one day. But if you want the fruit right now, you have to shake the tree. What does this mean? Shaking the tree means self-effort. We will have to put self-effort, and self-effort is practicing whatever our guru has instructed for us. We also have unconditional grace of Holy Mother for us always. We can see three qualities are perfectly blended in her: Matru Bhav, Daivi Bhav and Guru Bhav. Once Swami Ishanananda asks Holy Mother, Mother, why do you not sleep? Why do you repeat the mantra throughout the night without sleeping? For that mother replies, what can I do, my son? All these children come to me with great longing for initiation. But most of them do not repeat the mantra at all, and they don't practice it regularly. But since I have taken responsibility for them, should I not see to their welfare? So I do japa for their sake. I constantly pray to the master. to awaken their spiritual consciousness and give them liberation. There is a great deal of suffering in this world, and may they not be born here again. So that is Mother's grace, which she is showering on us all the time. Also, nowadays while we are traveling in a vehicle to reach a particular destination and for directions, we use something called as GPS. So here GPS is Global Positioning System. Similarly, we need GPS in spiritual life also. What does GPS in spiritual life mean? It is Guru Parampara system. So we need GPS in spiritual life to travel in right direction and to reach the destination. We are all blessed to belong to Sri Ramakrishna's GPS, that is Sri Ramakrishna's Guru Parampara system. On this great day, let us pray to Holy Mother Sri Sharada Devi, Sri Ramakrishna and Swami Vivekananda to guide us on the right path through proper gurus, and may we all attain lasting peace through their grace. Yatagne Dahika Shakti Ramakrishna Stitahiya Sarva Vidyam Swarupantam Sharadam Pranamamyaham.